Welcome to the True North Community Church Podcast.
All right. So I want to wish you a very happy Valentine's Day if you're in the room and you're marking that day. And if you're not marking that day, if you are in fact in denial about the fact that it's Valentine's Day, today's message might be just perfect for you. So we're doing something a little unusual. We are interrupting our message series on the book of Philippians. We'll pick it up again next week. But when I saw that Valentine's Day landed on a Sunday this year, I just thought I want to do a message, and I've been feeling convicted for a while that I wanted to do something specifically for single people. So if you're in the room today, if you're married, we love you. If you're here today and you're having a great time and you're with somebody, you're married or you're engaged or you're dating somebody and you're just so in love and just it's all ooey gooey and everything's great and it's Valentine's Day and woohoo, we're happy for you. We're just not here for you this morning, okay? We're glad you're here. We're here for all the single people. Single people in the room, clap it up for me right now. Single people? Yeah, okay, bunch of people right here, single people, right. So what's going on is if you're here today, oh, I want to say this before I say another word. I owe a debt of gratitude to another preacher named Louis Giglio. He's got a message. He's got a large ministry down in Atlanta, Georgia, where he talks often to singles and young people, and I've listened to him do this a few times. So if I say anything smart in the next 25 minutes or so, it's probably his content. Just want to let you know. But so if you're here today and you're in denial. You know, you don't want to hear about Valentine's Day. You don't want to hear one more Hallmark commercial. If you see one more pop-up ad for 1-800-Flowers, you're just going to stab yourself in the neck with a pen. Like, you just don't, you want to go home and be in denial and not think about it. We're here for you today, okay? And the reason we're here for you today is because it's not easy to be single, right? It's hard to be single. You start to feel, in the culture we're in, you can, at times, start to feel like less than or incomplete or maybe that something's not quite right with you if you're not with somebody constantly. And the Apostle Paul actually says something very, very different about singleness. Here's what he says. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning at verse 32. I want you to be free from the concerns of this life. An unmarried man can spend his time doing the Lord's work and thinking how to please him. But a married man has to think about his earthly responsibilities and how to please his wife. He better. His interests are divided. In the same way, a woman who is no longer married or has never been married can be devoted to the Lord and holy in body and in spirit. But a married woman has to think about her earthly responsibilities and how to please her husband. I'm saying this for your benefit, not to place restrictions on you. I want you to do whatever will help you serve the Lord best with as few distractions as possible. Now, just so we're clear, Paul is not anti-marriage. In fact, a few verses earlier, Paul says, it is better to marry than to burn with lust, which is a clear teaching that sex is a beautiful, wonderful gift from God to be enjoyed in the marriage bed. It was made from within the bounds of a marriage, right? So Paul's not anti-marriage. What Paul is saying is that if you're going to live an outward-bound life, if you're going to live a life where God is the center and you're here to serve God, honor God, and love others and serve all, it's actually easier, logistically speaking, it's just easier to do that when you're single. It's easier to center on God and be focused on God and be all his when you're not worried about the distractions that come with pleasing somebody else and being in a relationship. In other words, what Paul is saying in this passage is that singleness is a gift. It's a gift. Now, I know that when I say singleness is a gift, every single person in the room goes, oh, great. Thank you for that gift. Could you give it to somebody else? Because I don't want it. Right? You ever have somebody give you a gift you didn't want? You're like, yeah, no thanks, right? And so you're thinking, great that singleness is a gift. I'm going to pass. Thanks anyway. And it's frustrating because you have friends and they're dating people and some of you wish you were, some of you have a friend that you wish you could start dating and it's awkward because you're in the friend zone and you don't know how to get out of that. Some of you, your friend is dating somebody and you'd like to be dating the person your friend is dating and it's just awkward and as much as you are trying to take the high road and as much as you are trying to be happy for them and you're trying to be joyful for them and support them, it's difficult. It's very, very difficult because they used to be your friend, and then you used to be bros, and then he met her, and he doesn't even come around anymore. She was your best girlfriend, and she met him, and now she's off to the races, and you don't, because it's just all them, and you're left out. And when that happens, and you start to feel, and that emotion starts to rise up in you, and you start to feel like maybe something's wrong with you, or maybe something's up with you, or maybe you really better connect with somebody, a very dangerous shift occurs in your psyche. Something very dangerous happens. In that moment, without even realizing it, you become focused on finding someone. And your whole life can follow this trajectory. It happens often when you've been single for a while, if you really want to connect with somebody, if you're just lonely and you just feel like that's what ought to be the next thing for you, you focus on finding somebody. And what happens when we focus on finding someone is dangerous. It's dangerous because when you are focused on finding someone, it is altogether impossible to focus on becoming someone. And what you need most in this season of your life, if you're single, if I may be so bold, is not to focus on finding someone, but to focus on becoming someone. If you're single now, if you're in between or in the not yet, you're somewhere, you used to be with somebody and now you're not, you've never been with somebody and you hope you will be, you've never dated and you're never, like there's never been an attachment or there's been lots of them and you're in between right now, wherever you are in that maze, right now, the thing you want to focus on is not the finding, you want to focus on the becoming. And that's hard. It's hard to focus on becoming, right? Because when you're not with somebody, other people seem to want to help. They want to help you with the finding. Even if you're trying not to be focused on the finding, other people are always trying to help you find somebody. You ever have somebody do that with you? Oh yeah, single people in the room, know what I'm talking about? Yeah, got that helpful aunt or uncle or grandma. It's just like, well, when are you going to find a nice boy, you know? And settle down. You're like, Mom, shut up. You know, well, don't you work with some nice young men, you know, and you're all like, no, one of them's weird, and dude's got bad breath, and no, Ma, right, and then, what about your friends, you know, and what about this one, and what about that one, and they try to help, and then if it hasn't happened yet, it'll happen, just wait, it'll just be a matter of time. They'll say, well, what about that church? You go to that big church. And there's so many young people there. That's the perfect place to meet somebody is church. And you go, Mom, I don't know what to tell you. I go every Sunday. I look nice. I put on my good shoes. I put on my makeup. I have my coffee, and I sit there, and no one talks to me. I do my best, and I just go to church, but it's not that easy. And the truth is, we've never, at our church, we don't do, you know, we've never actually done events just for singles because we've not yet figured, maybe someday we'll figure it out. We've just not yet figured out how to do a singles event and not have it just be a huge meat market. It's awkward, okay? So we don't want that to be the case. If we're doing stuff, you know, here, we want you to connect. So what we're going to do, we've never done this before. We're just going to try it. We're going to roll the dice, okay? Single people in the room, we're going to ask you to have a little courage right now. Here's what's going to go on, okay? Right now, this very second, if you're single, I want you to stand up. Single people in the room, on your feet. Come on, stand up. There's a break. Come on, stand up. Get up on your feet. Yeah, clap it up. Come on, stand up. Stand up. Up, 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 up. Now stay on your feet. Stay on your feet. Stay on your feet. If you're in the overflow room, stand up, okay? If you're watching it, don't sit down. Get back up. If you're watching on the internet, you don't have to stand up. You can stay on your couch. Rest of you guys, okay, now look around. Everybody look around, okay? See everybody else? Okay, that's good. That's perfect. Now you can sit down. Okay, that's good. Now, it's good, all right? There's a little help with the finding, all right? Clap it up. Nice work, okay? It's good. So, all the help. And we had some attractive people here at the last service, too. You missed it. So here's the deal. We tend to focus on the finding, and what happens when we focus on finding somebody, when the trajectory of our life says we've got to find somebody, what occurs is you start saying something in your heart, and you don't say it out loud, you don't even say it to yourself, but what occurs is your mindset starts to be, that person, whoever he is, whoever she is, he or she is out there, and they're going to complete me. There's going to be a moment where I have all these insecurities and I have all these issues and they're going to shore me up, and that's the truth, right? You have insecurities. You have bug zapper. You I don't know what that was. You have insecurities, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. You have some insecurities. You have some wounding from your family of origin. You're walking with a limp because of some things that happened to you in your childhood. There's a bunch of stuff you haven't yet worked through. And when your focus comes to, I've got to find somebody, what you're thinking is and what you're saying is, that person is going to shore me up where I'm weak, heal me where I'm broken, help me with my insecurities, and I'm going to find him, and he's out there, or I'm going to find him, or I'm going to find her, and we're just going to meet, and it's going to be beautiful, and we're going to fall in love, and he's going to say, you complete me. And then then it's going to start raining, and then we're going to kiss, and it's just going to be the best thing ever, right? And you're just thinking like that's, and I get it. I understand that. And ladies, I mean, and guys, right? There's all this stuff that you're carrying, and you're just counting on that person to be the be-all, end-all for you. And ladies, he's out there, right? Just you're imagining him, you're thinking of him, right? You're dreaming of him, and he's tall. And he's got great hair, he's got a little hipster thing happening, maybe a little beard, right? And washboard abs, and he's it, and he's gonna swoop in on a magic carpet, and he's gonna scoop you up, and he's gonna show you a whole new world. And you're just gonna be beautiful, and it's just gonna be woo! I got good news for you, and I got bad news for you. Okay? Here's the good news. The good news is he is out there. The bad news is he's probably not as tall as you think. He didn't have washboard abs. He's working on that, but he's struggling. And he's not driving a magic carpet. He's coming in hot in a 2001 Chevy Lumina. Okay? Got a little rust on the front fender, and it's missing a hubcap. All right, and he's trying. But that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that he's not the one you always thought. It doesn't matter that he's not the be all end all. He's just somebody. So off we go, and just now we're in it, and we're just, oh, it's wonderful and it's beautiful and it's just, oh, for like 10 minutes you're just on cloud nine, and you just think it's like the best thing ever. Oh, those are the best 10 minutes of your life, and everybody around you just wants to puke because you're so in love. And like 10 minutes later, you realize not only does this guy not meet all your needs and shore up all your insecurities and heal you where you're wounded and fix you where you're broken and help you with all the things you need help with, not only does he not do all that stuff, he actually starts getting on your nerves. 10 minutes later, he's on your nerves. You know why? Here's why. Because you didn't realize you were saying it. You didn't know you were saying this, but you said, I need you to fix me where I'm broken. I need you to heal me where I'm wounded. I'm hurt from my family of origin. I'm struggling with all this stuff, and I need you to be in my corner and root for me and challenge me and hold me to high standards and push me and ease every pain and insecurity I've ever had, and do that for me and cheer for me and love me and hold me for the rest of my days. And when you did that, you set yourself up for disappointment, and you set him or her up for failure, because he can't deliver that stuff for you. Only God can deliver that stuff for you. But you'll miss it every time if you're focused on the finding and not on the becoming. We want to become people that work through those things. And with Jesus' help, with Christ's help, we can connect to God and we can work through some of that stuff. I don't know that any of us ever get it all figured out, but we can avoid some of the pitfalls. We can steer around some of that horror. And if you don't, it's going to be relationship after relationship after relationship after relationship in a series. So maybe he is out there. Maybe he looks just the way you want him to, right? Just go with me for a minute. Let's just indulge the fantasy for a hot minute here. Just maybe he's out there. Maybe he is that tall. Maybe he's got a great beard. And maybe he does look that good. And maybe he earns. And maybe he doesn't live with mom and dad and he drives a really cool car, right? So far, so good. But maybe he gets you and he gets in the relationship with you, and 10 minutes later, he's out of it. because he never worked on what's going on inside of him. And all that exterior stuff is just a mask for his own insecurities, because his whole life, all he's ever focused on is finding, and he's never focused on becoming. And now that he has you, you're not a challenge anymore. So now that he has you, he doesn't want you anymore, and he's out. He and his female equivalent are both out there, and they are dangerous. They will hurt you. And everybody else around you will see it coming but you. Everyone near you, all of your friends, your parents, everybody who cares about you, everyone who's observing your life is going to go, this is not going to end well. And you're like, woohoo! You just fit 100 miles an hour into this thing, and you are about to Thelma and Louise that thing right off the cliff. You're about to just sail off into just whoosh. And it's been over and over and over again, and you're wondering why. Relationship after relationship, and that guy leaves, or this guy gets on your nerves, and it ends, and now you're wondering why, and why is there something wrong with me? It's why is it one thing after another, after another, after another? It's because you're so centered on the finding that you have altogether neglected the becoming. And that's what God's calling you to become someone, to connect deeply with him. And I know this is hard. I know this is really, really, really tough, right? So what happens is, next, you find yourself in limbo. You're hearing what I'm saying now, and you're like, oh, maybe he's right. I should get out of this mindset. I should stop thinking this way. And you're having a hard time with it, and maybe you've even been to this place before where you're observing the patterns in your life, and the thing you're struggling against is our tendency to want to orbit somebody. We want to orbit somebody. It's in each of us. God wired us to be deeply connected with someone else. God wired us to be deeply connected with another. And that other is not the man or woman of your dreams. That other is him. We were wired to be deeply connected to him, and only in deep, deep connection to him are we our true selves. Only in deep, deep connection to him are the woundings from our families of origin healed. Only in deep, deep connection to him are our insecurities eased and our issues dealt with. Apart from that, we will struggle. And because we are hardwired to want to orbit God, absent orbiting God, we'll just default to orbiting whatever's closest. So you'll find somebody, and you won't say it out loud, and you won't even think it out loud. You'll just say to this person, I'm just going to orbit you. I mean, I can't figure out what to do with my life, so I'm just going to figure that you're going to help. I figure orbiting you is just going to help me, and it'll ease at least some of the pain, and maybe some of this will feel good, so I'll just orbit you, and I'll make myself all about you. And when two people start doing that, it always goes haywire. Do you know why? Because one person always wants to orbit a little closer than the other. You ever have somebody ever try to orbit you a little too close? Not a lot of fun, is it? It started off, everything was good, and now all of a sudden it's like, bang, your phone is blowing up, and bang, 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 and he's like, why aren't you texting me back? And you're like, shut up! You know, like, it's not, dial it down, easy, right? One person always wants to seem to orbit the other more than the other, and it gets imbalanced, and it all comes off the rails, and it all goes sideways because the formula is broken. Because neither of you are focused on becoming someone, you're just both focused on finding somebody. And you might for a minute find and connect, but after a while that other stuff rises to the surface. I mean, it happens every time. So how do you break out of that? How do you snap out of that cycle? You make it your business to orbit Jesus Christ. You make it your business to orbit God and say, I'm going to live my life to honor God and love others and serve all, and I'm going to focus on him. And when I find somebody, I'll find somebody who's also orbiting Jesus. And then maybe if it works, and maybe if she looks good, and maybe if he's cool, and maybe if it were everything else works out, maybe we could orbit Jesus together and link arms and be a partnership, serving God and honoring God and loving others and serving all with a common mission. But if it doesn't work out, and it starts to work out but it doesn't, well, that might hurt a little bit, but I'm still going to be okay because I'm orbiting him. Did you follow that? That's what God's calling us to stop looking for a human relationship to shore up the needs and to meet the needs that only God can meet. Stop looking for a human relationship to feed that in you. It'll never, ever work. What God's calling us to, and this is for you if you're married as well, orbit him. Now, some of you, I'm going to speak, I don't know what percentage of you are in this boat, but there's a few of you here. In a room this size, there's a few of you here. You're trying to orbit God, but you're in a relationship with somebody that doesn't want to. This is not for you if you're married. That's another discussion. We'll talk about this another time when we're talking about marriage. But if you are dating somebody, listen to me clearly now, okay? I don't often like try to weigh in on your personal life as your pastor, but if I may, as your pastor, speak to you for just a minute. If you are in a relationship and you're trying to orbit Jesus and she's not or he's not, that is a relationship you need to end. End it. You are unequally yoked, and that is going to be a very, very difficult. I mean, you could force it. You could cram that square peg into that round hole and try to make this thing work, but it's not ever going to be the thing you want it to be. What you want to do is focus on God 100% and say, buddy, if you're not coming with me, I'm so sorry. You look good and you got a nice car, but you're out. Sweetheart, you look really nice and it's been great, but if you're not following him, if you're not going to be on board with, if you're not going to connect with me in this deepest, most important thing in my life, we're done. That's what God's calling some of you to do, and some of you know that you need to do that. And it's hard because it's Valentine's Day, I know. And you're worried. You're worried because you've been thinking all this time, maybe something's wrong with me, maybe something's up with me, maybe something's, you know, maybe I've got to figure this out. What if I end up alone? What if it doesn't work out? What if? And to that, I'll just leave you guys with this morning. This is the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. Jesus Christ speaking here. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? Who will we date? I added that one. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Could I just say that to you again? But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Look it. There's a couple of you. What you needed to hear today was simply this. God sees you. God sees you today. I know you've been feeling alone. It's easy to feel like you're off to the side and you've been forgotten about when all your friends are in a relationship and all your friends are all, you're paired up and squared off and you're by yourself and you can feel forgotten. Listen to me now. God hasn't forgotten you. God sees you. God knows every single one of your needs, and it's not in his nature to not give you what you need. All you have to do is focus on him. We do this stuff. It's like we come to church and we say, Jesus, take the wheel. You ever heard that? Jesus, take the song. I think it's a song. It's a video. Whatever. Okay, so Jesus, take the wheel. And we say, yeah, off you go. And I'm just going to get in the passenger seat. I'm going to let you take the driver's seat. And you just drive because I keep messing my life up. So you drive. And then what happens is we get a little bit lonely and we feel a little bit weird. And Jesus seems to be driving us into a neighborhood where everybody's single and we're being driven into singleness. So what we do is we grab the wheel and we go, wah! We steer our life into a relationship. We force our way into relationship. We take the wheel from Jesus and steer ourselves into something we shouldn't be in. And then we take our hands off and go, okay, Lord, would you bless this now? Would you just bless me in this? And man, that's, over and over and over again, this happens. And so what you want to do this morning is just take your hands off the wheel and say, Jesus, I'm yours. I'm going to orbit you. I'm going to be all about you. I'm going to care for and serve and make my life all about you. I'm going to live outward bound, and I pray you'll bring him up next to me. I'll pray you'll bring her up next to me. I'll even keep my eye out for him, Jesus, because I'm looking for him. I'm looking for her. You know what else you can do? And this, a lot of people don't do this enough. Start praying for your husband or your wife. I know you don't know him yet. You might not even have met him yet, but he's out there and you can pray for him. She's out there. Your wife is out there and you can pray for her. Start, and you could prepare yourself that way, but man, if you are so focused on the finding that you altogether neglect the becoming, when he or she arrives in your life, you won't be ready. You want to be ready when that moment happens? Live your life orbiting Jesus Christ, and you'll be right where God wants you when that moment comes.